Well, thanks, Burton. Appreciate you sharing that. That was very interesting. Order of service today, we'll ask Rafi to do the psalm reading from Psalm chapter 16. And Neil will have a scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 to 6, and then an opening prayer. And Burton will bring the message from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. After the service, there will be coffee and dessert served downstairs. We'll open with hymn 154.
The psalm is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
As requested, we're going to read Isaiah 26, the first six verses here. In that day that shall this song be sung in the land of Judah, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, and he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. Shall we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon with thankful hearts, thankful for bringing Burton here to bring your word and give us a fresh perspective on maybe a story that we've heard many, many times. Sometimes we get very comfortable in the version of what we know and what we understand, and we thank you for the ability for you to give us fresh perspective, and we thank you for the time to be able to spend time in your word and be the free people that we are at this very moment to be here and worship you. We pray that you would be with us through the coming years, your year. You would strengthen us and guide us in that faith and that knowledge of the freedom and grace that you've given us through this Sunday, in this grace that you've provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would be with us here with our hearts and minds, that we'd be able to understand that which you've given Burton here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us continue it for a time in God's grace, mercy, and peace as we look further into the scripture on this greatest day in all of history. And we've had the privilege now for almost 2,000 years to look back at this event. And we also have had the privilege that by faith we believe as if it happened yesterday or today. So let us read then from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And this is just where we left off this morning. And we see, as in all these scriptures, we see the heart of Jesus. His heart was turned towards Mary this morning in the text, and he wanted her to come to a full understanding, and he used angels, and he used himself, and he used his word that she would come to that full understanding. And here in this text we have again, we see that the Lord's heart is for us. The Lord's heart is for Thomas, and the Lord's heart is for everyone. There is no reason for anyone to be outside of God's grace. And that's what we would pray, that all would come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us read from John 20, starting at verse 19 to the end of that chapter. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, and unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen. Shall we pray? These are thy holy words. Holy Father, sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. Amen. When we look at the text we had this morning and we look at the text that we have this afternoon, and I mentioned in my opening comments that the Lord's heart is for us, and he demonstrates that by, he didn't waste any time getting back to the idea of saving souls. That's his primary reason that he came. That's his primary mission. And even this victory over sin, death, and the devil, he wants to impress upon those that are under the hearing of the word that this and that he is the Lord come in the flesh. And here he is getting between the time that he was crucified and raised, that this intermediate time on earth where that God ordained it so that there would be this X amount of days before Pentecost, or Ascension, I should say, first, that he would be able to see and meet and encourage the believers and convert those that needed to be converted. And so the Lord doesn't waste any time in getting right about his business. That's what his business was before he was crucified. So then he earned our salvation, and he comes right back. And we might say his heart is the same. His heart is for us, as I mentioned earlier. But we see that that the disciples, there was much consternation when they began to understand that Jesus wasn't in that tomb. And there's a number of things they probably considered. And his resurrection was probably not one, as John wrote, that they didn't understand the scriptures at this time. And so they were wondering what's going to happen next. They were wondering if they were going to be the next ones crucified. And so it says that for fear, they were assembled, and they assembled on the first day of the week. And it says here, disciples. And so it's, we don't know what that group was per se, but we're told later that it was the apostles and then some other of his followers. And I would imagine that included the women that were part of that group earlier, that they were there, the disciples, gathered together, it says, in fear of the Jews. And then we see that Jesus, knowing all things and knowing all hearts, he comes and stood in the midst. And so we see that there's something about this transformed body that's different. That originally Jesus came in the flesh, and now we start to see that Jesus, he has this other quality about him where he's supernatural. And he has power over all things, and he comes without opening the doors, and he stands in the midst. And then it says this. It says, he said unto them, peace be unto you. It's like he couldn't even not say that. That is his being. That's his whole, that's the whole reason he went to the cross. It's so that he would be able to freely give peace. And peace is the antidote to fear. As we read in Scripture, fear is not from the Lord. No, he hasn't given us that spirit of fear, the Bible tells us. And the antidote to that fear is peace. Because when we're at peace, that means that we have been restored to the Lord, and we don't have to wonder what our relationship is with the Lord. And so, what he earned on that cross for us was this peace. And so he speaks of it. All, if we could summarize all of the scripture, if we could summarize Jesus in one word, the essence of the gospel message is forgiveness. That's what he came to do, and he did it, and he was victorious over the grave. And so this is such a part of his being that he knows that they're in fear, and he can't hold back from saying this. It's just so natural for him that this is what he wants all to have, peace. And so it's the first words out of his mouth, this greeting, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. In other words, I give you this peace. And if you wonder, this is how I earned it for you. As we sang this morning, I was thinking it would be nice to sing that song this afternoon again. He was pierced for us. And so he shows them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So that's the key. They were afraid. They didn't know what happened. But Jesus comes in and he speaks peace. He shows those scars. And then they say, we have seen the Lord. That's the confession that the Lord is looking for, that would be the confession of our hearts, that we have seen and experienced the goodness of the Lord. We have seen and experienced and believe that he died and he was victorious over death and he was resurrected and he sits on the right hand of God the Father right now. And what is he doing there? He is interceding for us. Well, we say, well, I don't know what that word interceding means. Well, we can extrapolate just a little. The Lord spoke from heaven on behalf of his son. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That's what Jesus Christ is telling the Father right now. These people here in Sylvan Lake are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased because of what? These scars on my hands and feet. And I have given them, I have earned this peace, and I long to give it to everyone. And he has extended it to us. And their response is, they were glad. I think that's the understatement by John. That they were beside themselves with joy. That now they understood this empty tomb and what it meant. They saw the Lord, capital L. The Lord, their Lord, our Lord. They understood when they saw, when they heard the words and those prints in his hands. And then he says again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." In other words, I'm sending you out. And this is the message, that you go forward saying, "Peace be unto you." That's the gospel message. And we have this privilege to take this gospel message forward. And what a privilege it is to bring this gospel message forward. And he commissions these disciples, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And then he says, "And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." So they are to be sent with this message of peace. And how, again, do people come to this place of peace? And that is to experience the Lord's forgiveness. And so in this commissioning, he sends them out, but he shows us here there's something specific that you need when you go out. You need the power of Jesus Christ living in you. And as we acknowledge and as we've recited from young age, this office of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ himself, the Spirit. And so he says, when he breathed on them, he said, "Receive ye this Holy Ghost." He didn't ask them if they wanted the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Ghost. This is just like how God created Adam physically. He breathed life into him. Jesus is now breathing life into his disciples, this new life, this new covenant where the Holy Spirit dwells within his believers. And he does it by breathing on them. So they become new men and women when they receive the Holy Ghost. And when I was in Kenya, I had the privilege to give a couple of seminars on the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the office of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has given it to us, even as he has given it to these disciples here. He gave it more generally on Pentecost to those that believed. And so we have this Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us in many places that it takes of him and gives unto us, or it brings to remembrance those things that he has done and reminds us of those things. So the Holy Spirit, being Christ, always speaks of Christ and reminds us of who he is and what he's done for us, and he's living within us. And so we have these fruits of the Spirit, and we won't go there. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit gives us as a gift, it tells us, is faith. And so then that's how this is tied together, because the scripture tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, if you don't have faith, if you don't trust God, that you are not a Christian. That is what he's telling us. It's impossible to please him. It's impossible to be his child without faith. And so faith is a gift. It's not something we need to earn. Faith through grace, so that we don't have to do anything to earn it. It's a free gift from God. So we have this Spirit that gives us faith, and those work together throughout our lives as Christians, revealing Jesus Christ to us. And so then he, as he commissions him, he gives him the Holy Spirit. And so this is also, when we look at this what we call the giving of the keys, this keys of remitting and retaining, the keys loosening and binding. To hold that office, you cannot hold that office of the keys without the Holy Spirit. And this is the way that the Bible bears this out. And this is why the Lord wanted to give these disciples before Pentecost, he wanted to give them the Holy Spirit so that they would begin this mission work at a very early stage here. And we see the benefit of it. We'll get to that. But this, when we think about it, we think, well, yeah, the keys, this is confession and absolution. And it is that. But it's so much more than that. It's these keys, this is the very essence of Jesus Christ. This is the definition of who he is and what he wants. That he would want you to come from underneath the bondage and receive this key of this opening and remitting of sins. But then there's the flip side of that. If we do not believe in Jesus Christ and his finished work, there's the retaining of that. The judgment comes because you have not believed in the one that he has sent, being that God sent his son. So those keys of loosening and binding are being retained. It's the same word that sets us free, but it's the same word that also judges the unbeliever to hell. It's the same word. If we do not receive it, there's condemnation. And so this is, he breathes on them, and then that equips them to go out with this message, essentially, of Jesus Christ in the entirety of who he is. And just to summarize this point, Jesus himself said just earlier, he said, "You are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you." His word, all of it is cleansing. It's the spoken word, when it's believed, that cleanses and sets us free. So does this, like I said, this contains confession and absolution, absolutely does. But to me, I see it as much bigger than that. It's the entirety of who he is and what he is and what he came for, was to forgive sin. Then we're told in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So, it's kind of unfortunate, I think, for Thomas. We refer to him as Doubting Thomas. And so this name has stuck with him for 2,000 years. And when I had the privilege to speak on Rahab several months ago, the same thought came to me. We very rarely refer to her as Rahab. We refer to her as Rahab the harlot. And I think, well, how unfortunate that is that that's how she goes down in memory. But in some ways, it aligns, because The Lord is bigger than these titles. Even if we've committed a sin that defines who we are in this life for the rest of our life, the Lord is even bigger than that. He's covered those sins that may define us in this for this short span, we could say, in this life. That there is no one that is outside, no matter what your title, what your history is, the Lord is calling. He wants those to come in. And so Thomas, he was not with them, we're told, when Jesus came. And the other disciples said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." And this is how God has ordained the word to go forward over the generations. These disciples were there in fear and trembling. The Lord reveals himself to them. He equips them, tells them, breathes on them, new life. What do? They go out and start preaching. And to the one that they love dearly, that did not have the courage to even be with them that first Sunday. But they went and found Thomas. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But then we see Thomas in his honesty. We have to give him credit for his honesty. He makes this statement. He says, But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." One of the great statements of unbelief in the Bible, we might say. And I think this is where, even in the Old Testament, when the writer said that the Lord that he would prefer us to be hot or cold, but lukewarm water or a lukewarm spirit, he would spew that out of his mouth because that person who's in between is ambivalent. They don't care. But here Thomas is very adamant that he can't and won't believe unless certain things. So he has this demand of how it has to be, thinking that it's not possible that these things would be revealed to me so that I could believe. So this was Thomas's statement of unbelief. And it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within. Here's the remarkable thing. Thomas was with them. So if you wonder if this word has power, just turn to this portion right here. Something's drawing Thomas. And what is it? It's the power of the word, the preached word. Faith comes by hearing. We say it often. We heard it this morning in Bible study. But Thomas, the Lord was drawing him, using these disciples. The Lord's heart is for Thomas. It was for his disciples. It's for Mary Magdalene. It's for us. And so this is how the church was set up, and the Lord ordained it. And we might ask ourselves, well, why did he ordain it this way? Why is it through the spoken word and through his word that the church and faith propagates in that way? And we say, well, we don't know. That's the Lord's work. And let us be glad. Because he has ordained many of these things that we can't understand. Many of those things that happen in our lives, we just can't understand. But we tip the hat to our Lord, and by faith, we can believe that they were and are the best plan. Our narrow minds can't comprehend them, but the Lord has given us the faith to believe through those things. And so they preached to Thomas, and then we see that Thomas was with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut again that next week. And he stood in the midst, and he had this same greeting. He wants Thomas also to know this peace. And he speaks it because that's, as we've said here many times, that's the essence of the Lord. This is what he wants to gift to us, peace. And so he declares it. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Thomas must have been quite shocked, because as far as he knew, Jesus wasn't there when he said his great words, his confession of unbelief. But the Lord knows all things. He knew the exact words that Thomas had said. And he doesn't, again, he doesn't tarry when it comes to the saving of souls. His offer is to reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. So this is the invitation that the Lord has extended to Thomas, but he extends to all of us, that he is being offered to be handled. Jesus is offering Thomas to handle him so that he might know physically that he is the Lord. But we have this book in front of us that we have the privilege to handle, and it is Jesus Christ. He is the Word come in the flesh. And we have the opportunity to handle this Word and learn and know of him. And as he says here, be not faithless, but believing. That's why the Lord came. That's why the Lord died, so that we might not be faithless, and that we would believe. And then we see the power in the Word. And Thomas, after those big words of unbelief, we see the heart of stone moved. In all of theology, all the deep things of the Lord, every jot and tittle of Christendom fulfilled in the blink of an eye when Thomas makes this confession, my Lord and my God. Just like that, Thomas on the outside, Thomas on the inside, through a confession and revelation to him through this Word, and he was able to believe it when he was called by the Lord and invited to handle him. And Thomas made this beautiful, another beautiful confession. We've seen now on Good Friday, and here in Mary Magdalene, we saw the thief on the cross and how short his confession was. And we saw too, Mary Magdalene said, Master. And now we see Thomas with a new heart, acknowledges that he has a Lord, and he has this supernatural revelation that the Lord is God. That, my friends, cannot come by knowledge. The Lord has to reveal that unto us. And he reveals it through his Word, because he told us that him and his Father are one. He came to do the will of the Father. Then this Spirit speaks of those things that the Father revealed to the Son. The Son reveals to us through the Spirit. And it buoys our faith, and we continue on believing by faith. And so Thomas makes this beautiful confession. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. And that's a true statement. Thomas was there and he saw Jesus physically and he believed. But the Lord, in his omnipotence and his love for us, left this blessing that has ran down through the generations and has landed on us today. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That, my dear friends, is us. We have not been able to physically handle the Lord. We have not physically seen his death and his resurrection. But he has given us this spiritual eye. And we, by faith, believe it so much to be true that we have put our whole life on this. We put all of our trust in the Lord because he has shown us there is no other Lord. There is no other way. There is no other one. And as the question was asked this morning, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Here is Jesus Christ. He is among the living. And that's where we would seek him and find life through his life. And we wonder, sometimes I mentioned it, I think probably each time, and it's more for me probably than maybe for you, we wonder, are these confessions, are they satisfactory? Is a one-word confession satisfactory? But the Lord tells us, he said, Thomas, calls him by name. So we know that the Lord has received that confession there of my Lord and my God. That was from Thomas's heart, and the Lord received it. And then that blessing comes to us, and we can be so thankful. And then John wraps up this chapter. And he tells us a little bit about himself in this closing verse, or we learn a little bit about him through this verse. And it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That is, that he did not capture all of the things that he saw. But this was the filter that he used when he recorded things. And it was this. He wrote down what the Lord revealed to him so that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And dear friends, this Easter, that is what he has given unto us, that we have new life through his name. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll turn again to the book of Jude in closing. And you might be a little bit leery when I say this. I would like to make some closing remarks after we sing. And if you would give me that opportunity, I would be so grateful to speak a couple more stories. And so I hope you would bear with me. But we'll close with this benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So we certainly want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here. It's been a joy, and I'm not sure who will be at the Bible study tomorrow night, so just want to pass along our thanks from my wife and I and my son for your hospitality that we've had so far. I know we'll have more this evening and tomorrow, but you guys have been so gracious and lines up with what I spoke about on Friday when we got here, that you guys have not altered that trajectory of what we think of the people here. So thank you for your hospitality and your kindness and your warmness to welcome us. And I would also like to thank my wife, Sarah, who's been a great encouragement to stand in this place the last few years. And to travel here, she's my biggest cheerleader, so I'm so thankful for that. And for my son to put up with us, I'm super thankful that he came. It's nice to for a father to have his son along as well. So thank you, family. What I wanted to speak about, I have two stories, and the one may seem odd at first or unrelated, and so just stick with it, and I think you'll probably start to see how they're related before I'm all said and done. So I believe what I'm about to share happened about 8 years ago. And at that time, I was working, and I was traveling a lot, and so I was flying to quite often. And so the routine would be I would get up in the morning, pack quickly, and I'd call Uber. And then I would hope by the time that the Uber got there, I would be packed and ready to go out of town for 2 or 3 days. And I remember the Uber got there a little bit early, so I was a little bit stressed in your packing, and I'm thinking, you know, all the things that I didn't get done over the weekend, and you find yourself being somewhat discouraged, and I'm thinking about that back door doesn't close quite right, the west side of the house needs to be repainted, and the concrete is faded in the front. And I'm sitting there, and the Ubers were pulling away, and I'm just thinking, when am I going to have time to do these things? And then I look, and it's like these kids, they didn't pick up their scooters, and how many times I've told them they need to pick up their scooters. And so I'm having these thoughts running through my mind as I'm leaving home for the airport. And so you start to think about work things, and your mind moves along, so then I was gone for a number of days. And then the time came to come home. And I don't remember too much. Like I said, there was a lot of trips. But this particular night, I was delayed. And so I landed in Portland just a little bit after midnight. And so I got my Uber ride ready to go home. And I climbed in the Uber. And then we began to head out of town. And so from the airport to our house is about 22 minutes. Well, it's actually 22 minutes and 13 seconds, to be honest. So I did it enough times. But so the Uber driver, you know, in the evening, if I was driving Uber, I would be a little bit nervous about my passengers. And so, you know, we live a little bit out in the country. And so you drive, and then you get off the freeway, and you still have another 5 miles, and we start angling in the countryside, and it's, you know, now it's like 12:45 in pitch black. It was a very dark night, and there was a little bit foggy, and so he wasn't quite sure where he was going, and Uber drivers, they don't really want to bother you too much, because after all, you gave them your address of where you're going, and so he would slow, and he was unsure, and so the further we got away from lights, the more nervous I could tell that he was getting, and I was feeling kind of bad for him. I think, well, he's an Uber driver. He probably grew up in the city, and out here where it's dark, you know, he didn't experience a lot of that. And so then we were going close to home, and he was thinking, man, this is far enough out here. This can't be right. And he didn't speak anything to me that whole time. I was just reading his body language and his reactions. And so then he pulled down our driveway, and as we began to drive down the driveway, it was about 1 o'clock then, and I saw that all the lights of my home were on. And it was this magnificent picture, and we pulled up to my home, and the Uber driver turned around and said to me, "Mr. Farley, is this your home?" And I said, "Yeah, this is my home." He said, "It's a mansion." And that's not to say that I live in a mansion. It was just how he saw things that night at 1 a.m. in the morning. We're out in the darkness, and we pull up to this house that has all these lights on. And when he said that to me, I was thinking, all those thoughts about what the back door needs and all the things that need to be fixed were erased from my mind. This is home. This is where our family has learned and grown up and learned about love. And sometimes it takes someone else to see your situation and speak some truth into you. And just from their perspective, this Uber driver was just so amazed there. And I was amazed also as I looked at my home. It looked like a beacon, a city on a hill, calling, "Dad, come home." And so I went in the house and was quite uplifted in spirit and thought, you know, the Lord, he uses all kinds of different ways to help us. And so this Uber driver was my angel that night. So that's story number one. When Christine passed away, I had a lot of trouble. I was grieving deeply, and there was trouble to find peace. And I found where I could find peace was listening to sermons. And so somehow I got aligned to listening to all the messages here. And I looked forward to walking and listening to the preached word. It would bring comfort to my soul. And I did that for quite some time. And so got to the point where I could recognize voices during singing, and it almost seemed like I was here with you all. And then I had this, when I was walking one time listening and listened to many different sermons from the messages that came from here, and it just seemed like I was just outside the window, outside of your visibility, and but in fellowship with you. So thank you to the technical team for streaming all those sermons that kept me afloat those years, and where I found a lot of peace. But one time when I was walking, this idea came to me. Do those people there in Sylvan Lake, do they understand what they have there? And I was thinking, as I pictured myself sitting outside the window and enjoying your fellowship, do they understand that this is their mansion? That this is where they've learned about love and where they have grown up? Do they understand the beauty of what they have here? Because I know that door in the back doesn't work quite right. And you're thinking about that light switch in the bathroom. It needs to be fixed. And maybe starting to think about new carpet. And oh yeah, last week we had some words of disagreement with another member. But this is where love is. You guys have that here, and I hope you cherish what you have here. So thank you for the fellowship that you didn't know you were giving me. And you are blessed here beyond what you know. Because this is where your kids, where you have learned, and where your kids and grandkids have learned about the love of Jesus Christ. And that makes this a mansion. Thank you.